Everybody, welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We are your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Doing good, Jake. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. We have a special edition of the show today. Today, we are discussing cash value life insurance and how it works. But first, let's take a look at our overarching business framework. Ultimately, we like to own businesses. That's number one. We're in a property management business. We have our education business. We have our insurance business. And we own our real estate, which brings us into number two after owning businesses, owning real estate. We love real estate. That is our primary driver, even though we own other businesses that support it. And ultimately, real estate's great because you get the monthly cash flow and the tax advantages. And the third component to our business framework is whole life insurance. This is the central command. This is where we're able to manage our cash, borrow from that cash to put the money into things such as businesses when we need to expand or our real estate investments. So that's the overarching framework. And now the G Daddy is going to take a deep dive into the cash value life insurance.
Jake, before I do that, let's talk about the dual asset strategy. You just mentioned it. That's what this whole cash value life insurance, that's how it really works well, because you have money in a policy, you're pulling that money out. And like Jake said, if you're investing it into a business, or all of a sudden, if you have a shortfall, or if you want to buy real estate, you pull it out, you buy it with your cash value. And then as that asset is producing, you pay your loan back, and guess what? You left with two assets. And Jake, have you heard all of the talk recently on Instagram about people talking about whole life? There's been no talk about it the last couple of years. Now, all of a sudden, as people are saying cash is trash, and you know, you see you got to chase yield, and what we're saying is our baby money soldiers.
That's where I was going next.
I'm sorry, bro. You know, we think so alike, but this is really important. You know, when should you buy whole life? 20 years ago. When's the next time, best time you should buy it? Today. Because people are always trying to buy the next best thing. And this is just a part of your financial picture. This is not the entirety of it. Now, people are trying to find a safe haven for their money. Three banks have failed this year. That doesn't seem like a lot, but three really huge, enormous banks.
How many life insurance companies?
None. I mean, it's been around forever. I mean, whole life insurance companies have been paying dividends since the Civil War. They haven't missed since the Great Recession, even during the Great Depression. They've been printing and giving you dividends the whole time. And what I like about it, it's one component of my money. It's safe. The dividends are guaranteed. It's out of the system. And what to me is amazing is that people go to this desperation when the markets start to tank. No, you want to have the money in this asset on the side because it's safe. It's protected there. And
Gino,
I think people,
you know, not even on the side. I want to pause right there for a second, because I think folks are looking at this backwards. They're looking at it as it's a place where, you know, it's a component where they put their money while they're also investing in the stock market, while they're investing in real estate. I think you need to look at this as the nucleus. And ultimately, what do I mean by that? It's a cash management tool, and a very good one, and a way to protect your family down the road. So if this is at the center of your investment strategy, you're putting your money in here to not only get a good long-term yield in perpetuity, right? You're getting nice returns on that money, and it's in a very safe place. And that's where you want the bulk of the cash to be, in a safe place. And then when a opportunity comes up that offers higher yield, such as real estate, such as starting a business, then the money comes out and gets directed. That's why I call it the central command or the hub. That's where it starts. It's not a side piece or a side business. It is the hub that basically ignites the other entities that you're going to be involved in.
You're talking hub and ignites, brother. I like it. I mean, that's such a great way to explain it. And we were
Don't want people thinking it's like a side component. This is the central command to fuel the rest of it. And I think that's a big piece people are missing.
Well, we were at the Denver Buy Right Boot Camp this weekend, Jake. We had 120 Jake and Gino students, and we're talking real estate. We're teaching people how to buy multifamily, and we're getting in that framework of the buy right. And we have a concept called the conveyor belt. And as I sat there with the 100-year team member, Norm, he's sitting there. He's like, this makes total sense to me. You have this conveyor belt in front of you, and you're trying to buy assets and put assets on this imaginary conveyor belt. And as the years go by, they matriculate. You pull the equity out and you go into the next deal. Well, think of whole life as that way. Think of a 5-year window. It may take a couple of years for you to actually get this policy going, for the cash value to start chugging along. But when have you bought a business and day one you're profitable? Or start a business. It usually takes you a couple of years. And the same thing with real estate. When you are in a syndicated deal and you are a 70-30 split, you are getting diluted 30% day one. And it's taking you between 3 to 5 years. In a good market cycle, you could possibly get your money back in 3 years with profits. In a down market cycle, it's going to take you at least 5 years for you to work through that deal, right? So think about it from that perspective. You're not getting wealthy day one. It's about long-termism. This is a long-term strategy where you're able to access your money today for that opportunity cost and not have money put away in a 401k and not being able to touch it. I was drinking that Kool-Aid years ago. I was stuffing my 401k. And at one point, I meet Jake and I'm like, holy crap, I can't touch that money. We got 156 unit deal. It's life-changing. And guess what? It's in a 401k. Guess what? I got to blow that up. I got to take penalties on that money and I got to pay taxes on that money. Now, fortunately, I had cost segregation, so I didn't do that. But not everyone is as fortunate as I was, or else out of that 100,000 I took out, I would have been let down 40 to 50 grand. I would have been diluted 50% of my money. Instead, if I had that money in a whole life policy, I would have borrowed that money out, invested in the 156 unit property. A year later, that property, we refinanced it. I would have paid that loan back. I still have my whole life policy and I'd have the asset. That's how wonderful and how beautiful the strategy works if you think of it from that perspective as the central hub. I love that, brother.
Well, you're going down the road and talking 401ks. I'm speaking to everybody out there that's listening right now. How many of you in the last 6 months have been worried about having your money in the bank? How many of you have been wondering, is my bank safe? Am I going to get caught here? Is there going to be an issue? So not only do you get out of that, you know, rat race with the bank where you're fearful that if the bank goes, am I going to get, you know, held up getting my money out? Am I going to be FDIC insured because I have more than $250,000 in there? And also, let's not even talk about the fear that you had about losing the money. How much were they paying you the last few years with your money in that? 1% yes. Maybe if you're lucky, half a percent. Okay. We're talking like 4 or 5%, you know, in perpetuity in these whole life policies, and it's safer. And then it gives you the ability to go out and still do your deals.
Jake, there's a couple of things. We're going to discuss how it works, but what you just said there is very important. It's not correlated to any market. So if the market's going down like it did last year, the seventh worst on record, down 22%, your whole life policy is safe over here. It's not correlated to any market. And if you're looking to, you know, retire last year and you need to pull money out of the market, well, you're pulling out in a down market. That's not really great. There's no strategy when you want to do that. But when you're thinking about cash value, whole life insurance, you've got money in a policy, there's cash value. Now, Jake needs that money. What he does is he gets a loan from the insurance company. The cash value stays in that policy. It's continuing to earn money uninterrupted, right? Jake takes the loan out. He goes out and buys the asset. Now, on that loan, Jake is paying back 4 or 5% depending on market conditions, but he's still making money uninterrupted and he's able to access his money. And when he makes his money from the deal, the business, the real estate, he can pay that loan back. But guess what? He doesn't have to pay the loan back if he doesn't want to. He doesn't have to go out and worry about his FICO scores. It's his money at any time. As long as he continues to pay the premiums, that money's there. And there's the death benefit component. Let's say Jake passes away and he has this loan out. Well, it just trues up, matures up to the death benefit. So it's just an amazing strategy. And
I think you just took the red pill and pulled yourself out of the matrix. You're not worried about FICO scores no more. You're playing your own game here.
Bro, let me tell you something. The bane. Well, what are they doing right now? If you have a higher FICO score, they're penalizing you. So you you really want to
hold on. So Gino's right about that. It's not even like a law. I was talking to my dad about it. He said there's a new rule, whatever the hell that is. I guess we're being ruled now as U.S. citizens. He said there's a new rule out there now that ultimately, if you have a better credit score, you're going to pay more in fees to subsidize the people with lesser credit scores. Are we just looking for a new spin on 08, guys? What are we doing here? Come on.
No,
come
actually,
on, folks.
This is all about, if you're a parent listening to this, this is the opposite of what you do want to do.
You're rewarding the bad kids and penalizing the good kids. That's
right.
Exactly right.
Sorry, go into the Apple store and steal $30,000 worth of equipment in there. You're not going to get penalized. We're not even going to go after you. That's exactly what they're telling you, not to be responsible. And I know anyone listening to the show, they have a 100-year mindset, their responsibility mindset. You probably want to gag right now and throw up. Because when I read that, I'm like, man, who's that going to hurt? That's going to hurt the people out there who have actually saved money.
It's going to push them down into lesser homes for the people that did not save for a rainy day. It's going to push them up into better homes. It's total bullshit.
Bullshit. And we're going down a rabbit hole, but we're going to get back to the cash value. But this sounds like, you know what? You took out money for a loan for student loans. we'll pay you back. You know, the dad who or the mom who saved for their kids to go to college that don't have any student debt. Well, too bad, you know? Yeah. It's the same concept. So that's why I love insurance companies. Money's out of the system. But it works very similar, everybody, to a line of credit. Mm-hmm. A business line, a personal line of credit, a HELOC. I've used all of those. My HELOC is our third deal, Jake, that home equity line of credit. Pulled the money out. Rates were pretty low at the time. They're around 4%. It was an interest-only loan for 10 years, but I had to pay every month. I had to pay that interest-only loan every month, whereas the cash value life insurance, I don't have to pay that loan off if I don't want to. And I think with the business line, the personal lines of credit, where are those rates right now? I mean, it's insane. For a business owner, it's a line of credit. For a homeowner, it's either a credit card, you know, and for real estate, you take a HELOC. I think the huge advantage is a tax rate. I mean, you're getting 4 to 6% of the interest rate versus 7%, 10% for a business line, 20% for credit cards. Think about that. That's insane. It's not even close how much cheaper your money
credit
is.
Credit cards, man.
Insurance policy.
Credit card.
You know what, Jake? Let me ask you. You weren't fortunate, but did you ever borrow money on credit cards for real estate? When I first started, I remember borrowing money to do some repairs. I came up light, and
I borrowed 10 grand from my grandparents. That was
it. And then the next deal with the grandma and grandpa, they had no more money left, did they, huh?
Hey, I paid them back quick though, all right? Here's the thing too, like I use a credit card because I make money on it. My average yield is like 2% that I make because I pay them off weekly. There's never any fees. I'm not paying, you know, any types of subscriptions or anything like that. So I get a little bit, I think, better than 2%, and that's it. I make money on it, and it's a tool, and no one has access, you know, to any of my banking. That's why I use credit cards ultimately.
The difference is this is really important, everybody. It can't be frozen. So if Jake goes down and he starts, you know, dealing drugs, and all of a sudden the authorities see that he's doing something wrong, they can freeze his bank accounts. And it's happened to a lot of people. They can just freeze your bank
They're
accounts.
They're not going to freeze my bank accounts for dealing drugs. But if I decide to go up to Canada and pull my, you know, 18-wheeler on the bridge, they might, right?
Okay. Man, that's a good point. And guess what? Did that happen? Yes, that did happen. That's so if your money's in a bank, and good luck trying to unfreeze those accounts. It's a nightmare. You don't have access to your money. So it can't be frozen. You can pay your loans back at your pace.
You're making me want to start trading in coin right now, all right? And I'm not talking about like electric or, you know, digital coins. I said electric. That's how dated I am. I'm talking about gold, bro. Like, you're making me want to get the gold bars and start shaving some of that off.
This is just as good. I like this. You know, you can't lose value. Whole life policy, permanent whole life insurance is not going to lose value. The loan rates, like I just mentioned, are so much lower. It's an asset. It shows up on your balance sheet. That is huge. You can collateralize it. I've collateralized my whole life cash value on our third deal. Jake comes to Gino and says, Gino, I need 75 grand. I said, Jake, my grandparents don't have 75 grand. Grandma and grandpa don't have 75 G's. And I am scratching. We just did a $4 million loan. I had no money left. I was freaking out. I'm like, Jake, I don't have the money. What am I going to do? I don't have credit cards to go up to 75 grand. And then I stopped there and I sat and I said, wow. I've got the whole life policy and there's $75,000 in cash value. It's about $90,000 at the time. And our banker, Mike, says, hey, we can collateralize it. You don't even have to pull it out. You don't have to borrow the money. Just use it as collateral. So that third deal was made possible because I borrowed money on another policy and I used another one as collateral. So the opportunity cost is immeasurable. And I think one of the bigger benefits, which is not directly tied to the cash value, you have a death benefit that passes tax-free to heirs. So any of you out there who are in real estate, great. You've got $30 million of assets. It's all tied up. You pass away. What happens? They're illiquid. You have to have a liquidity event to be able to pay those benefits.
Such a great bolt-on, that death benefit to real estate, because you just never know when you're your family's going to need that liquidity. It's such a great point.
And this is something that I think that most people get confused, and I did as well. Don't compare it to any other investment because it's not an investment.
It's the hub.
Yes, it's an asset. And that's what's really important. There are so many features and benefits to it. We're not chasing yield with this. What you're doing is you're going to have the cash value chasing yield, not the policy itself. Like Jake said, it's the hub. You're putting your money there. You're letting your money sit. You're letting your money stew.
It grows from there. Yes.
Yes. And I, you know, there's a couple of things that I want to mention about when you want to create wealth and you want to see how other wealthy people are doing it. Just take a look at the banks. Banks view it as bank-owned life insurance, BOLI, and it's a tier one asset. As of 2020, I'm doing a little research here. they owned $182 billion of whole life insurance. And I was just bantering with you a few minutes ago. What about SVB? Instead of going long on all those, you know, those treasury bonds, they had money in their whole life policies and in these, all these different whole life policies. Could they borrow the money out instead of having to sell an asset?
They would be in the short term, drastically different position right now. Yes.
I mean, think about it. And banks do it for two reasons. There's tax advantages for them. Huge. Look it up. The tax advantages that, you know, whole life allows for you as well. When you're starting to put money in these policies, when you're ready to retire, that money's sitting in there, the tax advantages are immense. And it's also used for employee benefits. If you've got an employee that you really like, getting whole life on them is amazing. You have the death benefit for them. It's an employee benefit. Maybe, you know, if they're there with you for 10 years, you can say, hey, you're here 10 years, I'm going to reward this for you. But before they get it, for those next 10 years, you have that cash value. You can utilize that cash value. And banks are utilizing that cash value to go out, to make loans, to keep the money on the balance sheet. I mean, can you imagine having that cash value in a policy? And they're saying, hey, I like Jake and Gino. I'm going to go out and I'm going to lend money to them. Well, I'm going to borrow money from that policy and lend it out to Jake and Gino. So they're employing the dual asset strategy as well.
That's a great point, Gino. Gang, really appreciate this today. As always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jake.